Today we're remembering one of the giants of jazz piano, Bill Evans. Bill was my guest during the first season of Piano Jazz in 1979. It was a great session. Not only did I have a wonderful time playing with Bill, I think he really opened up about his music and his ideas. His program is one of my favorites, and as it turns out, a favorite of our listeners too. Bill started off the show with his own tune, Waltz for Debbie.
I was thinking while you were playing, it's kind of a silly question to ask because so many people have tried to take their style from you, but before you developed your style, your own style, what were your influences or who did you listen to?
Well, I was listening to everybody, of course, all the big bands, the arrangers, they all, you know, play a part. You don't just learn from your own instrument, of course, and all the horn players. Early on, I started out with Boogie Woogie as far as jazz was concerned.
Can you still play those things, like Albert Hammond's things?
I used to be the fastest Boogie Woogie player in Central
one.
Jersey. Oh, yeah, right. right.
Gee,
I have
hard.
A cardboard disc someplace I made when I was 12.
A what?
Playing a cardboard disc recording of me playing Boogie Woogie when I was about 12. But I started with Boogie Woogie, which is good, you know, because, as you know, it's the blues.
And, right.
What better way to start playing jazz?
It's not that easy for your left hand.
That's right. It certainly isn't. And I got into Earl Hines and Nat Cole. Rather, I love Nat Cole and Bud
Me
Powell
too.
And, you know, George Shearing and just everybody that really played well. All the horn players, Stan Getz and Bird and Diz and Miles.
To me, what was really a earth-shattering record was the one that you were on that Miles made, Kind of Blue, I think.
Yeah.
I thought that was a milestone, not to make a pun.
It seems to have been. And, you know, it's marvelous to have been part of it.
Who was on that now? Coltrane, yourself?
Coltrane, myself, Paul Chambers, Jimmy Cobb, Cannonball, and Miles.
That's a fabulous record. That's, you know, when they ask which records would you take to a desert island.
Really?
That would be one of them. I thought that thing was superb.
Well, you know, it's one of the proud things of my life that I was part of that.
And having your tune on it, which there have been so many arguments over that Miles wrote Blue and Green. But you did, in fact, write that.
Yeah, the truth is I did. I I don't want to make a federal case out of it, but, you know, I did, and it doesn't matter that much. The music exists, and Miles is getting the royalties. That's the difference.
You mean it says Miles on the label?
That's right.
Well, I guess we can't make a federal case, as you say.
Listen, what I got from that association was priceless, and it's okay.
Let's do another tune.
Yeah. Okay.
How about a thing you were noodling with before?
The ballad?
This is all I ask.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to.
Who wrote that? I'm trying to think.
Gordon Jenkins. Yeah, I just recorded it last week for my next Warners album with Toots Thielemans.
This is all I ask.
This is all I ask. Thank you.
just wondering if you ever said this, or if I thought you did, that practicing one tune for 24 hours
yes.
is better than practicing 24 tunes in an hour.
That's right. Yeah, I think so.
And I think of that often, too, mm-hmm. although I'm afraid I don't always follow it, though I should, because you can really sit down and mess around with a tune. And that's something else I've wondered, whether when you're playing on a job, you ever just call a tune that maybe you haven't played and just say, let's play this tune, or whether you work things out in front.
Well, we don't. I don't recommend that it's the best thing, but my particular trio, I guess we've been in existence now, almost 20 years, and I imagine we may have had 4 rehearsals, you know, in that time, which generally were more or less talk-through rehearsals before live concert dates, where we're playing new material and we had to record live. But I've approached it that way, and I don't necessarily recommend it. I don't think it's necessarily the best way, but this is the way we have approached it. So we often, everything that we do more or less develops on the job or cold in a recording studio, you know, and we get it together very quickly and like that, you know. So, but I generally like to be a little familiar with a thing before I do it, but as far as the group is concerned, we do it rather from cold.
Do you play in any key? Can you play all
no.
the 12 keys?
No, not necessarily. Keys don't bother me that much. I mean, I don't mind playing in any particular key, but I would have to think about certain things before I would just pile into it in a new key, you know.
I guess I must be kind of reckless. Or I don't. I guess I don't care about making mistakes. Sometimes I'll try a thing in the key of B, and maybe it doesn't happen, but then I think, well, all right, I'll do it again next time. Maybe
well,
it'll happen.
Good.
Meanwhile, could we do that Rubeck tune?
Sure.
You recorded that, didn't you, in your own sweet way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that was on, wasn't that on the same album as TTT?
Well, I may have, I recorded it solo also, but years ago I recorded it with Chuck Israels and Paul Motion.
I don't know where I heard it.
Right.
You know, each time you do something, it comes out differently.
I hope so. All right,
so she's trying to speak properly.
Happens.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service, Department of the Interior, Fazioli Pianos, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.